Tom Mulcair is brought to you by Guaranteed Industries. With the warm weather approaching, Guaranteed Industries and Lennox would like to remind you to book your spring air conditioning maintenance tune-up now. Call 514-342-3400 or GuaranteedIndustries.com.
I think the really important thing to take away from this budget is we recognize that this is a pivotal moment for young Canadians. It's a pivotal moment for millennials. It's a pivotal moment for Gen Z. In our pre-budget tour going across the country, I've heard from so many
people. Yeah, it's a pivotal moment. They're about to inherit a whole lot of debt, Tom Mulcair.
Well said, Andrew Carter.
I wanted to point out a column I saw in the Globe and Mail this morning, which I just thought summed it up perfectly in terms, you've seen so many governments come and go. It says, what sort of vision for the country can you conjure from inside a very deep hole? This is Shannon Proudfoot in the Globe and Mail.
She's great.
When you're new to the job of governing, a budget is a manifesto written in the air. All things are possible and all problems are solvable for the simple reason that the people who will do the fixing, you, are not the ones who created the problems in the first place. But with each year that goes by, debris accumulates around your feet, and options narrow for the vision you can conjure for the country. Late in the game, a budget is not a love letter about some pretty future. It's a clenched jaw plan for how you're going to clean out the garage this weekend, finally. So I've never heard it really summed up.
Fabulous writing. She's great. I'm going to be with her. She's going to be in Montreal for a conference on political leaders in June at McGill, and she's really top notch. So yes, that's the deal. You know, I was on air with our friend John Moore in Toronto this morning, and you know, Scott Reed, a well-respected commentator with a liberal background, used to be a consultant, an advisor to Paul Martin. And he was just saying, oh, you know, there's no problems with this budget. And Lisa Rayton, she's a former conservative minister, was just saying, like, have you read this thing? You know, and we couldn't disagree more. And I'm going to go to one specific thing that is going to speak to a lot of our listeners. There's this feeling that the massive increase in the tax that they're now going to be imposing on capital gains only applies, this is the wording of the federal liberals, to the ultra-rich. Let me explain why this is going to clobber artisans, tradespeople, small business owners who have played by the rules, who have worked hard, put plunked down a down payment 25, 30 years ago to buy, let's say, this is my old provincial riding, and I just see all of the triplexes along Notre Dame Street in Chamonix that basically goes from the 13 all the way over to the 15. And this is, you know, you very often first-generation Canadians, and that's their pension. They're not going to get a nice, fat government pension. That's their pension. That's their money that they've put aside. They're being told from one day to the next that instead of 50% being brought in as taxable under capital gains, it's now 66 2/3% that's going to be brought in. Let's forget for one second that, by the way, this is an accounting and economic nightmare, trying to figure out what moment, when it's crystallized, how you determine what the... Forget about that for one second. This is a punch in the face to a lot of working folks, not to the ultra-rich that Trudeau wanted to be able to boast about hammering on this one. And by the way, when I put that forward, our friend Scott Reed from the Liberals didn't have a lot to say back to it, because this is not something that they had thought of, because you know what? They talk about the middle class, but they don't know too many folks who are actually working middle class, and a lot of them are going to get a bit hurt by this budget. It's a thoughtless budget. The only promise Trudeau's ever kept was the promise he made in 2015 when he first got elected, never to have a balanced budget. That's a promise he's kept.
I wanted to jump to this ridiculous situation, because we'll have lots of time to talk about the budget, about the budget in the future. But some clarity from the government on whether or not they're allowed to speak to you in English in situations where it's really merited. This is the case of some parents and special needs families who were inquiring about or getting an information session about what was accessible to them in their region. And the whole thing was in French because the people who ran it said they weren't allowed to speak English.
Right. So this is false. It's just not true that under the law, somebody from the education department can't speak in English. Two, what are we all supposed to be? You know, we're the historic Anglos. You know, I got the T-shirt. So this is completely false. And it flies in the face of everything the CAC government used to say. They used to send out poor old Christopher Skeet, who used to always do a good job defending Legault and then get beaten up on the air, but he was a good sport about it. We haven't heard from him since he became a minister. Now we're supposed to have Éric Girard, the finance minister, fine gentleman, but he either doesn't care about or is not interested in or is just the type to never do anything about a file that's supposed to be his. He's supposed to be the interlocutor of the English-speaking community of Quebec on these issues. Like I say, Éric Girard, as fine a gentleman as you've ever seen in Quebec or Canadian politics, but he's supposed to have a job to be the person talking about this. And either he's just in a corner, cowardly, worrying about talking about this. He does want to run for the Conservatives under Poilievre. Maybe he doesn't want to burn any bridges with them because Poilievre's going to play the nationalist Quebec card as much as he can to try to get votes in the next election. But it is unseemly. Right. It's false. And you know what's going to happen, Andrew? You've seen this a dozen times before. Julius Gray or some other, you know, brilliant lawyer is going to grab this thing. Julius often does these things almost, you know, pro bono. He's such an incredible mensch when it comes to just defending the community. But this cries out for an intervention by the courts. Let's hope it gets there sooner rather than later. It's a tragedy that these parents weren't able to get information in English about their kids who have special needs. It is shocking.
Okay. Paul St-Pierre Plamondon, the leader of the PQ, continuing his conversations about how Quebec is going to be erased from the map. Yesterday, now this quote was really flies in the face of everything that I thought I learned in high school. And of course, maybe it was wrong. The history of Canada is a history of assimilation. I thought we were supposed to be a mosaic
and don't forget about the executions. Those were in there yesterday as well.
Yeah, what was he talking about?
He was, I believe, talking about what happened in 1838. So it is really a bizarre turn of events. It's almost a complete change of personality for Paul St-Pierre Plamondon. I wrote a piece in the Gazette that's in today's Gazette, and I actually wrote it before his most bizarre outbursts yesterday. I was mostly concentrating on what he had said on Sunday at the end of his convention, and I read this stuff yesterday. I got in touch with my editor, and I said, do you want to tweak this and include some of the more bizarre stuff? He says, no, your paper's fine, and we're going to have a news story, and it's a front-page news story in the Gazette. But go read it. I mean, the stuff that was coming out of this poor guy. And like I say, he's a good person. I mean, I've had many occasions, you know, to talk to him. I've sat down with him, had a coffee with him. You know, this is the type of thing I like to do in my job, not just have an opinion about what they say, but get to know a little bit about them. And he's got a good, sunny personality. I don't know what depressants were being shared or spiking the punch on the weekend at that convention, but he's just like become this really dark, dour, somber personality with these bizarre rantings about stuff that is totally historical, unconnected to the Canada that we live in today. If you're going to have a fight about separation, have a fight about separation, but let's not go over what happened in 1838.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting. I guess we'll see in the fullness of time if this is some sort of political suicide he's committing or if it's going to work.
Just one quick thing. Somebody mentioned that he was really shaken after there had been threats against him and his family, and maybe it's starting to play out that way. I don't know what the reason is, but it's a total change. And as you say, Andrew, let's see how it plays out. But I don't think it works out well for him or for the PQ.